Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Welcome to Women to Women. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, your host. And as always, it's a privilege and an honor to come with you, to come before you on today, especially with this topic that I'm going to be talking about on today. Today, I want to deal with the topic of why so many single in the church. And primarily, we're talking about single women. Many of you who have listened to the broadcast on a regular basis know that we had a very interesting show on last week. There was a brother by the name of Richard who called in, and he brought up some very legitimate concerns about women. And even listening back to the archives, I realized that Richard, even though he may have been bringing his points maybe not in the right way, but he was making some valid points. So today I want to talk to you. I want you to call me. Call in. Go ahead and call your girlfriends. Call them up, because you will be doing most of the talking during this particular segment. I want you to call me and tell me why you believe there are so many single women in the church. Why does a woman in the church, a woman of God who wants to be married, have such a hard time getting the man to marry her or to pay attention to her? Or should she even be trying to get a man to marry her? What is it that you believe that God would say to you pertaining to this particular topic? I need you to share. What is your experience? You know, what have you encountered as a single woman in the church? Or maybe you're married now, and tell me, what have you done to make the difference? What have you done to actually have the man in your life commit to you and say, will you marry me? Amen. So I want to talk. I started to cancel today because I lost my voice this week. And many of you know that I do a lot with my voice. I talk and I preach and I teach and I do this radio broadcast. But even today when I woke up, I went to the board to cancel, and there were some people already waiting for today's broadcast, so I could not cancel. So here we are. Here we are, and I need your help. Tell people to come. Call somebody, textbook somebody, Facebook somebody, text somebody, let somebody know. Pastor Rebecca is on the air, and she wants to hear from women everywhere, and even some men. Even some men may call in to let me know their side. Like I said, Richard was very bold. He called last week, and after I listened, I realized that Richard is a single man. He is a single black man who has been having some difficulty in the dating scene. He sounds like a man who has done well for himself. He sounds like a man who has a career. He sounds educated. He definitely knows the Bible. He confesses Christ as his Lord and Savior, but yet he's single. So what is the problem? What is the problem? Why so many single in the church? Why can't single men get together with single women? Why can't we start dating each other and move towards marriage? I also had Pastor A, called, and he spoke about how he noticed his wife, and he was at a church, and his wife was working in the ministry, and he noticed her. God told him that that woman was going to be his wife, but it was 5 years before he said anything to her in the area of wanting to take her out on a date. So are we moving too fast? Are we not being patient? You know, so many different answers. I know that there are so many different answers out there. Some people would say that women in the church are unequally yoked. So perhaps that's the case, but we're going to talk about it. We are going to talk about it, and I'm going to speak briefly, and then I will be opening up the phone lines to let you all carry this broadcast. The chat room is open, and I see we already have some people in the chat room. Sanctuary of Praise, Deliverance by Faith. I cannot type and talk at the same time, so you guys go ahead and start chatting. I'll chat it up. God bless you. And because this is a topic that may we're going to have some differing opinions, but we're going to keep the Word of God first and foremost. We're going to look at this thing from a Christian perspective. We are no longer in the world, so we're not doing as the world does. We don't date as the world does. We're not jumping in and out of bed with each other. Maybe that's the reason that so many people are single in the church. I don't know, but Richard, and I pray that Richard is listening this week because he opened up this topic for us, that we need to talk about it. We need to talk about it. Let us open in prayer, and then I'm just going to go ahead and speak for a few minutes about what I believe, and just open up some scripture, and then we're just going to open up the phone lines, and we're going to get going. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you, and we magnify your name on today. God, you are worthy to be praised. There is none like you, and we magnify your name on today. We thank you for this Block Talk Radio broadcast. We thank you, Lord, that you have brought us together for such a time as this. We thank you, Lord, that you have ordained marriage, that you said in your word that it is not good for man to be alone. So, Lord, we thank you that you also said that he who finds a wife finds a good thing, O Lord, and obtain a favor from the Lord. So, Lord, we thank you that marriage is good and that marriage is honorable, as you have said in your word, and that the marriage bed is undefiled. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for those of your children who are tuning in today who want to be married. And, God, we thank you, Lord, that it's a good thing to even want to be married, and that you said in your word that no good thing will you withhold from those who love you and delight themselves in you, O God. So, Lord, we are coming to you asking your Holy Ghost to be with us on today, even as we go forward this Block Talk Radio broadcast, God, not a show, but a ministry, God, to brothers and sisters on a topic that's not talked about much in the church. So, Lord, help us. Holy Ghost, help us. Help us to see what it is that we need to see. Help us to see the error of our ways. Help us to repent and turn, God, and help us to be able to communicate with each other in a spirit of truth, in a spirit of unity, in a spirit of peace, agreeing to disagree, O God. So I speak your peace over this board right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be your vessel to even come before your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good and worthy to be praised. Amen. What is the problem of what is the answer? Gazelle Simmons was with us, and I just thank God for her being with us on last week, and she's with us again on today. And she said that she's been single for 6 years, and she is a woman of God, and she attends church. And, you know, I just want to know, why aren't the single men in the church approaching the single women in the church? Or is it okay for a woman to approach a man and say, can we have a cup of coffee? Like Brother Richard was saying, is it okay for a woman to initiate a friendship that may result in a relationship that may result in a marriage? You know, so many questions. There's so many questions. How do we even hook up as Christians? You know my testimony. I met my husband. I wasn't even saved. My husband was a Christian. He was a baby Christian who was being yet delivered. We don't go to bars anymore, but that night as a young Christian, he was in the bar, and he saw me walk into the club, and yes, I was looking good, and I caught his attention because men are visual. So maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe we're not presenting ourselves properly. Maybe we're showing too much, or maybe we're just not fixing ourselves up enough. Does some of the onus come to women? Do we have a responsibility, as Richard would say, in getting the attention of the man, or are we just supposed to pray and believe that God will send us a man? So many questions, but let me just give my take on it, and then I'm going to take some calls. Again, I was in a bar, walked into the bar, was in a bad relationship with the wrong man. I was in a relationship with a man who told me, and this is for the women who are not saved out there, women who don't go to church. I was in a relationship with a man who told me that he would not commit, told me that he would never commit, told me that he would always have other women as friends. When I asked him, did he love me, he told me that he didn't know because he had never been in love before. So he couldn't tell me if he loved me or not. You know, the devil is a liar, but I was blind. I could not see. I didn't know that this man was playing me. I didn't know that this man was just getting what he could get from me. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe we're just giving up too much too soon. I'm just talking. You know, I felt that if I gave a man my body, then he would love me. Then, you know, maybe. And as a single woman who wasn't saved, I didn't even think about being married because marriage was not in our vocabulary. And I meet a lot of single women now who are not saved, who have been with men for 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, and they're shacking up and they're cooking for these men and they're washing their clothes and they're taking care of these men's children, but they're not requiring these men to make a commitment to them. They're not requiring these men to marry them. And yet they're giving these men everything that a wife would give the man, but they're not married. And even in the church, okay, come on, that was in the world. I wasn't even saved. But even in the church, what I'm finding is that there are a lot of women who are doing the same thing. They're cooking for men, and they're washing men's clothes. They're taking care of men's babies. And, yes, they're having babies for men, and they're shacking up with men. But they are not requiring these men to marry them, and these women are saved. I'm just talking. You have that happening, and it's a shame because we as women of God know better. We know better. We're not even supposed to be having sex, let alone living with somebody and having sex every night, and that man has not made a commitment to us to be our husbands. But yet we're so quick to say, praise the Lord. You know, God is good. And let me tell you, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. And I'm just going to have to say, And that's right, Integrated Talk says it happens with women who are not saved as well for the same reason. We have to stop giving away the milk, because when we give away the milk, men are getting full of the milk, but they're not going to buy the cow. But then everybody's not sleeping around. There are some women who are going to church, like Sister Gazelle, and she's taking care of her business and taking care of her children. But yet, still she's single, believing God for that man of God who will come and not be looking for a woman who has everything exposed, but be looking for a real woman of God. And if the truth were to be told, some men out there are intimidated by strong women. You know, they call that women with an attitude. You know, if we know what we want and we know what we like and we can speak up for what we want and what we like, then we have an attitude. And we're just women with an attitude. But come on, something's got to give, amen. So I believe the Bible, and the Bible says that a virtuous woman is the type of woman that a man would want to find. In Proverbs 31, the mother was talking to her son, and she was telling her son about the type of woman that he would want. And I'm just going to read that, and then I'm going to open up the phone lines because I want to just go ahead and get started with the broadcast. Let me just get my Bible and go over to Proverbs 31. so that we can go forward. Why are there so many single people in the church? Why are men going outside of the church to find wives? And I know maybe my husband can help with that, because, like I said, we met in a bar, but he was a baby Christian. But what's the deal with Christian men who have been in the church for years, and when they get ready to get married, they go outside of the church and find a wife? I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to stop talking. Proverbs 31. And we're going to start with verse 31, starting with verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. And pray for me. The devil is defeated in the area of my voice. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises early while it is yet night, and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. And it goes on and on. I'm not going to keep reading it, but it says that she is to be praised. Amen. A virtuous woman. So you can read that to yourself, for yourself. But let me open up the phone line and give my voice a rest. So let's open up the phone lines. Area code 732, you're on the air. Welcome to Women to Women. Area code 732. Amen. Let me open up area code 973. You're on the air. Welcome to Women to Women.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Rebecca. How you doing?
Praise the Lord. I'm blessed. Blessed. Highly favored of the Lord. Who am I speaking with?
This is Minister LaWanda. You met me the other night at Pastor Flags Church.
Yes. God bless you, woman of God.
How you doing?
What is going on in the church? Are you married?
No, ma'am, I'm not married. I am single and a mother of two.
Okay.
But when I saw you post this title, it is something that I want to hear also people's points and opinions on it, because from, and this is just my opinion, from what I've seen, and ladies, don't chop my head off, but this, like I said, this is my opinion from what I've seen. Too many of us sisters in the church, and it's not all churches, just like I said, it's my opinion. They want to be like First Lady. But if you look at sometimes how First Lady is, First Lady has some issues too. We shouldn't try to be like someone else, but only who God calls us to be. And the thing with it is that we so busy looking at this sister and that sister and what this sister got, and we begin to be jealous and envious and start questioning God, well, why am I still single and why I don't have this? We never allow God to mold us in the woman of God that he has called us to be. A lot of women, they get strong. It's nothing wrong with being strong, but don't be so strong where the men are scared of you.
Okay.
And,
okay.
You know, where they are scared of you, where they feel like you're more manly in certain senses than them, and you don't need a man because you are acting like the man. You don't need a man because you got everything. But you know, the word tells us it's not good for man to be alone. So if you're alone, you know, we have to see why we are alone. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody can't be like First Lady. You know,
yes.
If the First Lady really be truthful and tell the truth, you know, everybody wouldn't want to be a like, you know, First Lady. And, you know, it's how you conduct yourself and stop listening to everyone. I've heard down through the years, and I'm 34, if you got children, don't no man want you. That's not true. That's a lie.
Right.
From the pit of hell. That's a
lie.
That's
right.
If you ain't got no job, don't no man want you. If you ain't got a 401k plan, don't no man want you. That's a lie. And you have women, good women, you know, who's sitting in the church listening to this garbage and, you know, and they're being brainwashed and they're starting having low self-esteem, start thinking,
okay,
that, well, I don't, you know, I'm never going to get a man because I have children and I'm not a virgin and I don't have a job. And don't listen. My opinion, my point, and my advice to women who's single in the church, don't listen to what other people are saying and looking at other people's lives. What God has for you is for you, and can't nobody take that from you.
Amen. Amen. So you do think there is hope for single,
yes,
women and single, amen, in the church?
Yes.
Well,
if we just stay focused on what God has for us and what God is calling us to do and stop being so, you know, caught up on what the next man has and trying to mimic what the next man has, we wouldn't be by ourselves. And that's just my opinion. You know, somebody may say something else, you know, but men, it's the same way. We look at the men the same way. If you acting like your pastor and you're so religious, that's a scared woman off as well. It goes both ways. So it's not just the woman. It goes both ways. You know, a man can scare a woman off.
Okay, so that's a great point. Well, stay with me. I'm going to take another call, and I thank you so much for being with me and for contributing.
No problem.
Stay with me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Erico, I see your hand up over here. Erico 405, you're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Rebecca. This is Latara Hamying.
God bless you, Latara. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I saw this topic and I was like, oh, this is a good one. Let me jump in here. And I wasn't going to call in. I was just going to listen. But as you were talking, I said, well, you know, I've been there.
Yes.
I was the Christian woman in church. I had a child while I was saved. I slept with men while I was saved. I seeked that love while I was saved.
Wow.
And I just want to say that, you know, it kind of starts when you're in church. When you're in church, we are expected to behave and act a certain way sometimes. And, you know, that's just not reality. We have to get real with it. And I think one of the reasons why brothers step outside of the church is because they see you oftentimes because, you know, singles ministries tend to have gatherings and stuff.
Yes.
And I remember a lot of the gatherings that we used to have. And a lot of our gatherings were not holy. They were not godly.
Okay.
We drank, we did things, you know, and eventually when my pastor found out about what the young adult ministry was doing, he cut the young adult ministry totally. But then I had to go back to him and go, well, as a young person, especially a young single woman who was a single mother at the time, is there a way that the church can have some sort of classes or work with us in some kind of way? Because we here do not fornicate, but why?
Why? And this is, okay, so did you grow up in church?
No, I did not grow up in church.
Okay, so you joined the church, and as you joined the church, you joined the singles ministry, and the singles ministry were having they were having a lot of ungodly gatherings that were not godly. So in other words, you were drinking and people were hooking up and having sex with each other within that ministry.
Right. I mean, there were guys dating two girls at the same time, and I'm like going, something is backwards here. Something is not right. So in a way, you have to kind of look at the church and go, what is it that you're teaching us even from a young age, those who are in church from a young age? We teach a lot of scripture, and that's wonderful, and that's fine. But sometimes you have to get real with what that scripture really says. Make it relevant to me.
Okay, so don't fornicate, don't have sex is not relevant enough because they're not, what are you saying? It's like your parents saying don't have sex, don't come home pregnant, but you still do it.
Right. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, my mom told me boys are nasty, don't have sex. I'm like, well, what does that mean?
So
what did I do?
You have sex and it felt good and you did it again. So that's really what happened. So we do, you're right, we do have to be relevant. And the thing is, our children have to be trained up. You know, the Bible tells us to train up out the way that they should go. And when they're old, they won't steer far from it. But it did not say that they will not go, they won't go away from it. It just says they won't go far from it. But what we have to realize is that we do have to be more relevant. That's why we're talking about this. And I thought I could do it in an hour. I mean, silly me. But the thing about it is, why are we having sex? Why are we having sex in the church? You know, because that's a big part of the problem, that, you know, we're having sex and we're Christians and we're not supposed to be having sex. So what is up with that? What do we do here? What do you believe? And then I'm going to take another call. But what can the solution be? In the chat room is just going crazy. But what is the solution to that?
Well, I think, and knowing where I came from, it's a mindset change. You have to determine. I mean, one day I just looked and I was like, I'm tired. I want to be different. I don't want a man to want me for sex or, you know, what have you. Because the bottom line is, just because you get saved does not mean your problem go away right away. It does not disappear overnight.
Uh-huh.
And if you still have that mindset, I mean, I started having sex when I was 16. I was molested as a young girl, but I started having, well, what I called consensual sex at 16.
Yes.
And it was a continual thing for me because I was seeking that love all the time. But when I got saved, it didn't go away right away. All of a sudden, I didn't go, I know Jesus loves me, and so I can't do this. That's a hard struggle. And until you change your mind, then you're going to continue to be in that cycle. It'll just perpetuate and perpetuate and perpetuate itself until you decide, I need to make a change. How do I do this, Lord? And then he's going to direct you.
Amen.
But you have
Amen.
To be willing.
And you're married now.
Yes.
So what was the difference between you just dating guys? And, you know, I pray that everybody's listening because I'm going to ask you this last question, and I do have to take another call. I see your hand up. If you want to talk, just raise your hand. How do you raise your hand? I think you press 2 or 1.
You press 1, I believe.
You press 1 to raise your hand, and I'll put you on the air if you want to talk. What is it that caused your husband to – how long have you been married?
It'll be 8 years in September.
8 years. So what was it that caused your husband to decide to commit to you? Or – did you change or did he, I mean, what happened that you ended up married?
Well, I had got to a point to where I was tired of having meaningless sex. And I said, I'm going to sit back. I said, Lord, I'm going to wait on you to send what you're going to send because I know that I deserve better. And a lot of people know my husband and I met online, not on purpose, but purely by accident. And what did it for him was, he said, I knew that you had problems. I knew that you had issues. We all do. He said, but there was a glow. There was something about you that said she truly loves the Lord. She truly loves the Lord, and she deserves to have a man who's going to love her the way that she deserves to be loved.
Yes, yes.
And so that's what happened.
My God. And that is just beautiful because when we obey God, and I see what's going on in the chat room. Evan Storm is in the chat room. And I see what's happening is there's a conversation going on about being a child of God and not having to spend all of your time in the church. When we are Christians, we go to the church in order to learn the mind of God, the will of God for our lives. And why we're having this conversation from a Christian perspective is because we're talking about the church, and I'm a minister of the gospel. So I want to be relevant to the Christian brothers and sisters out there to let you know that God has a higher standard and a higher quality of life for you than for you to be giving your body to all of these different men. Because if you lay down with one man and that does not end up with, in marriage, you go to the next relationship, you might have sex with that man. It may not end up in marriage. You go to the next relationship, now you're having sex with another man. That does not end up in marriage. So you have to break the cycle. Break the cycle. And Evan Storm did not like us saying, give away the milk. They won't buy the cow. How about this? If you keep giving your body to different men, then what happens is you find yourself all used up and you find yourself in spiritual attachment because there are spirits that are transferred when you're having sex with different men and you find yourself spiritually connected, spiritually married to all of these men without really being a wife. And then you find yourself having all these issues in your relationships, comparing this man to that man. He doesn't do it this. He didn't flip me over like he did. We're not hanging with the chandeliers. You're comparing yourself to all of these men. And not only that, but you're developing soul ties. You're developing soul ties because every time you have sex with a man or women, for the men out there, there is a spiritual impartation that's being made. That's why we have all these issues. And we can't be happy in our relationships because we have all this spiritual drama going on in our lives. So we need to stop giving our bodies away. Not only that, but our bodies are the temple of God. Our bodies are the temple of God. Do you not know that the Spirit of the Holy Ghost dwells on the inside of you? So we just break, I'm breaking it down as best I can as a woman to say you're worth more than that, to be somebody's sperm bag. And a lot of times say, well, we're enjoying it too. Yeah, we do. We were made. Our bodies were built for us to enjoy, amen, to enjoy sex within marriage, within the confines of marriage. So, no, we don't have to talk about cows, but let's just break it down and say that God has better for us than for us to go from man to man and from bed to bed and from relationship to relationship. So we were made to be a wife. God said it's not man, not good for man to be alone. He made me to be a wife. He made you to be a wife, to be a helpmeet, not to be in control. Latara, stay with me. I'm going to take another call. Amen. Area code 786. You're on the air. Welcome to Women to Women.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca. This is Pastor Varian.
Oh, God bless you, Pastor Varian. Thank you so much, and thank you for holding it down in the chat room. Thank you so much for calling in. So what is God saying?
You know, I just really believe that we got to get to a place where we're in agreement. And that means if we all believe one way, then let us believe in that way. And if we all believe in another way, then let us come together, but let us do it in love. Because love is the only thing that casts out fear, death, hell, evil. Love is the only way we can do that. So when we come together and we're talking about these things like we're talking about today, if we're here to help each other or we're here to teach each other or we're here to guide each other or give advice or to give, I'm going to say it as the Bible says, sound counsel, sound wisdom, we got to do it in a way that is not offensive to people and in a way that will allow them to be able to be receptive to what we're saying, not in a way that it seems like we're antagonizing people or we're forcing ourselves or our belief onto people. And so I believe that when we talk about these things like what we're talking about today, when we say, listen, a woman needs to understand who she is. And a woman needs to understand what she is, how she's valued. And she's not valued for the physical. She's valued for the spiritual. So when it comes to being valued in the spiritual, then that's what we're talking about today, what you're saying, Pastor Rebecca. She needs to be a virtuous woman. Now, that means that the women like me and you, we got to teach these women. Because if we're not teaching them, but we're seeing them be the women that they are not called to be, and we're standing by and allowing it, like when Jesus was talking about the Good Samaritan, what person went and actually helped that person who was in need? That's the problem. It's not enough for us just to talk. We got to take some action, and we got to start doing what the Bible tells us. The Bible says we got to be teachers of the women. The older women teach the younger women. The older men teach the younger men. But we're not doing that. What we're doing is a lot of talk, and a lot of pointing the finger, and a lot of you shoulda, coulda, woulda, and a lot of you ain't doing this right, and you ain't saying that right, and you ain't teaching this right, and that does not help anybody. All of the division does not help anybody. All of the contention does not help anybody. All of the strife does not help anybody. But when we can come to them in love and say, hey, look, my sister, or look, my brother, you know, I would love to be a friend to you. I would love to talk with you and communicate with you. I would love to pray with you. You know, we got to get to the point where we can be on their level. And I like to say it as Paul says it, I became all things to all men. Now, that did not mean he got out of who he was in God, because people believe that that's what Paul meant. But that is not what he meant. He just meant, I can be a human being, and I can love you, and I can be that person that you can come and talk to and communicate with, so that when it does come time for me to minister to you, you would allow me to do that, because we develop a relationship. Now, developing a relationship with somebody does not mean you believe what they believe, you think how they think, you do what they do. It does not mean that. It doesn't mean that. And for some reason, we fail to realize, I don't have to believe what you believe. You don't have to believe what I believe. But as long as we both believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he's the only way, and that he is our resurrection, he is our reward, he is our inheritance, and that is God that leads us all, and it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us, it's Jesus who's guiding us, if we'll just follow those footsteps and stop worrying about everything that a woman or a man has to say, we'd be better people for it. And we could actually really teach people and lead people and help them where they are, not where we are, not where I am, not where you are, Pastor Rebecca, because we already came to that, are in the place God needs us to be. And we still got some work to do. But we're not talking to people from where we are. We're talking to people from where we used to be. We used to do those things. We used to say those things. We used to be in those places. We know where we came from. But see, another avenue to that is, if you've never been where these people have been, you cannot really relate to them. I don't care how much you know. I don't care how much Bible you done read. I don't care how much college books you done read and classes you done took, because I've taken classes in college. I've taken philosophy and other different classes, psychology and all of those different things. If you cannot relate to someone from where they are and where they stand, you can't help them. It cannot happen. And so we need to get out of arguing with each other about what's the better way to help people, what's the better way to talk to them, what's the best. All of that right there cannot help us unless we're willing to come to the table and say, hey, look, you do it your way, I'll do it my way. Let's meet up and see which way is working. Let's help each other and go, okay, if that's not working, let's pick out a different way. But let's do it together instead of trying to always separate each other and say, hey, this is the right way, and I'm doing it the right way, and you're not doing it the right way, and this is why we have all these problems in the world. No, the reason we have all these problems in the world is because we keep dividing and not bringing together and to be on one accord.
And that's a great point. I believe that's why I wanted to talk about this today, because I believe that communication, and again, Brother Richard talked about it on last week, that communication and the lack of the ability to communicate with each other plays a big part in it. I think that we have gotten to the point where, as the church, we may be out of touch with people. And that is my prayer, that I would never get out of touch, that God will always remind me of where he brought me from, so that I can be able to minister to other people. Paul said it so wonderfully. He said, without love, we're nothing. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And we just really have to make sure that we are dealing with each other, saved and unsaved, with love. And one thing about my broadcast is that a lot of people are drawn that are not saved. And my prayer is that I will always be able to, and that those of you who are saved will be able to deal with those that we know who are not saved with love, because we cannot draw them without the kindness of Christ. But here today, this conversation, we're talking about the church. There are a lot of single people in the church. Pastor Varian, stay with me. I see another hand up. There are a lot of people in the church who are single, men and women. And Pastor Varian, you put the nail on the head. You opened up my remembrance that we're not able to communicate with each other. Men and women who are saved, there's a lack of communication. That's my opinion. And I want this caller, area code 954, you're on the air. What do you think the problem is? And not only the problem, because I don't just want to spend time, Sanctuary of Prayer said it, we may need a part two. I don't want to spend all of the time talking about the problem. I really am about solutions. Our God is a solutions oriented God. Not only is he solutions oriented, but he is the solution. What is the problem in the church with singles, and what are the solutions? Some solutions.
God bless you, woman of God. This is Pastor Stephen Amaker, Deliverance by Faith. First thing, when it especially comes to dating, the church has adopted the world's standards and not the biblical principles of dating. So that's one of the problems, and the solution is just one and the same. Go back to the biblical standards of what dating is, and dating are pleasing to the Lord. We talked about this, Pastor Rebecca and you and I. We had which turned out to be a very, very good connection with Brother Richard between he and I last week, and these questions are very vital right now in the body of Christ, because there, like you said, there's a lot of single people, and they're dating according to the world's principles, and you can't do that. You cannot, not say that you're a saint of God. You cannot date, because really, when you, and then even so, what are you looking for? Friendship, marriage, or sex? That's why people are dating right now, because it's one of the three. They're either looking for a friend or somebody. And when you come to marriage, you're not really just dating to get married, but you're looking for your soulmate. Who is your destiny tied to? Who is the person that's going to take you to the next dimension in God? And that's what you have to really surround yourself and wrap those premises around you, because you can't keep, and I heard somebody say, you can't keep getting milk from every cow and then sit down and say, I'm with the wrong person, because you keep going and having sex with people. I'll say it again, by no means, there is to be no sex in dating. No sex in dating. No sex in dating. Can I say it one more time? No sex in dating. And then you shouldn't be nowhere where sex is going to be an option. Don't allow your, he ain't got no business in your house on your bed.
Wow.
If he's slaying across your bed, he ain't got no business there. Men and women, she ain't got no business laying across your bed. No, no, no. You don't have no business in the house with all the lights off, wrapped up on the couch watching no movie. No, you no, 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 no. Because can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burnt?
Right, right. No, no, he can't. No, he can't. He will. You will get burnt. and laying across that bed, you will begin to burn, you know, because you burn with desire, you burn with lust, and then you end up, you know, actually doing that thing. We have to forsake even the appearance of sin. And in the chat room, Evanstorm is saying that it's more rules and more what we cannot do. And I just want to encourage you.
There's so many other things that you can do.
Yeah. God puts boundaries in place
mm-hmm.
for his children, like any loving parent would do. And God being our Father, the ultimate Father, has put these boundaries in place for us, Evanstorm, whether you're, I don't know if you're a woman or a man, but these boundaries are there to protect us
mm-hmm.
from the ramifications of all of this sin that God is protecting
mm-hmm.
us from. So
mm-hmm.
we just have to call it what it is. The things that God tells us not to do, those things are sin because they go against God's best for us. What God has already said, this is the plan I have for you, plan for good, and these are the things that he allows us to do and not evil. These are the things that he tells us not to do, the things that are considered to be evil. And they're evil for a reason, because the results are not good. I mean, if you look at your life, and I'm just going to open up the phone lines. If you look at your life and look at some of the things that you did when you were not a child of God, when you were not in the church, when you were not a Christian, you can probably agree, most people on this in the chat room and most people on this phone line will agree that those things that God is telling us that are bad for us are really bad for us. The things that
mm-hmm.
we're not supposed to do is for a reason. The rules are there
mm-hmm.
to protect us. And,
mm-hmm.
and God loves you
mm-hmm.
so much. He loves us so much that he says, baby, don't go that way. Don't
mm-hmm.
let that man come in your house. Don't get involved in that orgy. Don't sleep with him.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna get AIDS.
The
God is saying, don't do it, because we're not talking about HIV and AIDS anymore that can be contracted through
mm-hmm.
sex. You know, when we start having sex, and not only that, but you're gonna get pregnant, and then what's the solution?
Mm-hmm.
Go and have an abortion,
mm-hmm.
or now I've got to be a single mother. Now I've got to cut off the quality of life and go and be on welfare and be a teenage mother and be a single mother. You know, that's not what God has for us. You know, but God is trying to protect us, just like our parents wanted to protect us, and we want to rebel against what we want to call the rules, but the rules are there. Just like everything in life, when you go to work, you got to put your time clock. You got to be there a certain time. I don't see anybody complaining about that, because we're going to get a paycheck at the end of the week, so we'll do what the boss says on the job. But come on, y'all. Come on, women of God. Come on. Let's stop looking for excuses, men of God, women of God. Let's stop looking for excuses to rebel against what God has said in his word. Either we're going to be, either Jesus is Lord and Savior or he's not. Come on. Come on. Either
mm-hmm.
we're going to be children of the Most High God or we're going to be children of the devil. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's put it black and white. Come on.
Present your body.
And then I'm going to open up the phone lines. I want to stand. I want to stand because I know we still haven't finished. Go ahead, Pastor Amica, and then we will open up the phone lines for some more people to speak.
Present your body, a living sacrifice, married or single. Present your body, a living sacrifice. Holy, 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 that's an acceptable unto God. If you do that, even so, in you doing that and becoming that virtuous, not only woman, but man, then God will. He's already got your woman, your man, already sitting and waiting and in preparation for you. But if you, like Pastor Rebecca just said, you keep fooling around with all this stuff and dibbling and dabbling with stuff, you lay down with dogs, you're going to get up with a bunch of fleas. And some fleas you're not going to be able to get rid of, because the fleas are going to come in AIDS. The fleas are going to come out as pregnancy, children, unwanted children, stuff. And now, like she said, now you done got a baby, now you got to have an abortion. Oh, my God. And you're naming, you're saying you're a Christian, having an abortion. You're saying that you're a Christian and you having premarital babies and sex, and you're saying that you're living according to the word of God. Like she said, we got to tighten up. There's no middle ground with this. God respects holiness. God, married or single or female, I don't care, married or what, God expects holiness out of his people and out of us. And you can't play with stuff and don't think you're going to get some repercussions from it. God bless you, woman of God. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you, man of God. God bless you. Now, and I'm opening up the floor. 973, I don't believe I've heard, I did hear from you. Is this... sanctuary of prayer?
Yes, 973.
Amen. Amen. And everybody else is still on there. I'm just opening up the phone line. Somebody could just jump in and answer this question. We're saying no sex. You heard Pastor Amica. No sex. The Bible says no sex before marriage. We all know that most of us, if we were to be honest, would say that we were not virgins. When we got married. Now, someone would say, well, your testimony is you didn't get it right. You didn't abstain from having sexual relationships. How can you sit, and this is new believers or maybe unbelievers, how can you sit and tell me I can't have sex and you did it? Anybody could just jump in and answer that.
Because I don't want you to have the same and go through the same mistakes and horrific things that I went through. I'm riding down the road, and the road is out, and I went off the bridge and tore up my car and myself. Then why wouldn't I tell you, don't go down that road? Please, don't go down that road. Sex opens up a whole nother dimension on the relationship. And a lot of people are making the mistake of getting married because the sex was good. But let me tell you, 3 months later, that sex is not going to be so good. When stuff starts happening, 3 months later, the bed that you just, I can't get enough of you in, is not going to be so good. And then you marry to that person, and you find out, you know what? I married the wrong person because we don't have nothing incompatible but sex. And sex, and everybody, all of us, we're grown enough to know that sex do not keep you married. There's a lot of folk that divorce in the bed, and still, they divorce, and the last night before they divorce, they had sex, but they're still not married.
Amen. Amen. And that brings up another topic. It's not just the fact that everybody's having sex, because there are a lot of people on this line who are celibate. So the thing about it is, why am I still single? I'm keeping myself for the Lord. And I want one of the women who are experiencing this to just jump in and share, I'm keeping myself for the Lord. I'm not running around with Tom, Dick, and Rabu. Why are the men in the church overlooking me? I mean, what are some of the other problems that we're having in the church that are preventing us from being married?
He might not be. They might be looking at you. They might be looking at you and saying, that's the lady that I would love to marry. But then how are you carrying yourself? How are you presenting yourself not only to him, but how, and people watch people and they see how people are looking and carrying themselves and presenting themselves, interacting with other people, and they take a minute for the brother to get up enough nerve to step and see you says, listen, I would like to date you with the intentions of marriage because I like what I see about you. I like how I see you interact with people. If you have one, you know, a couple of kids, I like what I see, how you treat your kids, how the way you treat God, how the way you treat. So you got a laundry list of stuff that men are looking at you in the eyes of. Oh, no, I don't want her. Why? Because she's up in every man's face. Every brother that walk in the church, she's the first one in his face. Oh, you know, who wants that?
Thank you.
Okay. Well, Pastor Amica, you're the only man here. I think you're the only man here. Well, you know, Brother Richard last week, and I wish he would have called because I really appreciate
if I'd have known, I'd have called him and told you to call in. Told him to call in.
Yeah, because one of the points that he made, and I'm glad you kept in touch with him. One of the points that he made was that women, and I went back and listened, and I really, you know, I listened. He said that women need to initiate the interest. I mean, in other words, he said, say hello or smile.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there not enough for that? Are we not being flirtatious enough? Is it okay for a woman to flirt with a single man?
Next Saturday the 7th, and sis, I definitely want you to join, and I think I put it on at 12 so that, one, we can run right over there to your page and possibly keep it up. Next Saturday broadcast is going to be, will you marry me? She asks.
Wow.
Will you marry me? And we're going to talk about Christian dating. So, sis, you and I, we're going to tag team. We're going to finish our broadcast. And we're going to right over there to your page. And we're going to, you know, however the Lord leads you. But there's no problem saying hello. How you doing? What's wrong? Hey, how you doing? For a woman, there's no problem with that. I mean, you know, but like you're saying, flirt. And then, you know, I might be interested. Let's see what's going on. Like Brother Richard said, now we're going out to a restaurant. You're going to take me on our first date to a $300 restaurant? What you think that brother is, and I don't even know you. Your first date. Go ahead, sis.
What you're saying is I can say hi.
Come on.
A woman can say hello, a woman can smile, but don't be too accommodating.
Come on.
Like, because I'm not paying $300 to take a man out to dinner. Okay, but some women do. The question I'm asking is, let me just say this. I believe Ruth was in the house of the Lord. She wasn't in the house of the Lord. She was in the field. Ruth was taking care of Naomi, her mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
So Ruth was just being about her business. And the same way in the house of the Lord, when we go to church, we should just be about our Father's business.
That's it.
Go
there
and worship the Lord. Don't look at the church as somewhere to go to get a
Come on.
That's right. Please tell the truth.
Come on.
That's the truth.
But at the same token, my countenance, I think a lot of us as Christian women, we have forgotten how to smile. You know, we don't look happy. You know, and me too, I can get really serious sometimes, but that can be scary. I have to remind myself. For the women of God on the that are listening, I have to remind myself. I'm so deep that I have to sometimes remind myself to put a smile on my face. I have to remind myself to laugh, because sometimes I think we get scared to just be who God created us to be. Listen, women of God, it's okay to be you. It's okay to be true to yourself. Listen, if you have a wonderful personality, let it shine through. I mean, my God.
Exactly.
Don't feel like you have to put House of Praise, Spirit was saying, my friend from Linden. Don't feel like you have to be acting like the first lady.
Exactly.
You know, she may be deep. She may be deep, but she got her husband. She already has her husband.
That's right.
I think as single women, I think we're too, you know, we go from one extreme to the other. Sometimes we're too loose in the church, but sometimes we're too uptight.
That's right.
You know, and I think it's okay. Listen, Pastor Amica, all due respect to you being a man of God, but as a woman, I was going to share with my sisters, you let your personality shine. You don't have to be desperate, but you don't have to be uptight. You don't
That's
have to
right,
be to the point where you go like, well, I don't want people to think I'm trying to get a man. Well, look, if you're trying to get a man, then fine. Go ahead and try to get a man. But you don't have to be to the point where you're letting everything hang out. And
That's
you don't
right.
have to be to the point where your clothes are all tight. You know, I mean, I'm not speaking rude. I mean, please, don't get me wrong. But what I'm
it's
saying
the truth,
is,
though.
What I'm saying is dare to be beautiful. Dare
That's
to
right.
be charming. Dare to be well put together, well groomed. You know, dare to let your light so shine so that men will look on you like Boaz looked at Ruth and say, well, who is she? My God, that's a well put together woman. And she has
mm-hmm.
charm, and look at that smile. Oh my God, she's beautiful. And she's anointed, loves the Lord. She know how to praise God. And then she's smart, she has her own business. And even if she doesn't take have her own business, she might even not even have a job. Boy, Lord, I love the way she take care of them children. You
That's
know,
right.
I
come
mean,
on.
Come on.
That's it.
I mean,
That's it.
Whatever you got, work with what you got.
That's
what
right.
Saying. And when that man does come to you and say, can we have a cup of coffee? Or can I take you out? Or can we go bowling? A group of friends, we're going bowling. Will you go with me? You know, stop turning up your nose because he's not tall, dark,
mm-hmm.
and handsome. You know, is it the fact maybe that our criteria, not our standards, because every woman of God needs to have standards, but maybe my criteria, maybe my preferences are out of the box. Maybe I'm asking for him to have a BMW. Maybe he drives a hoopty.
That's right.
Maybe I'm
asking
for him to white collar drive.
That's right. You got to start from
yeah.
somewhere.
Yeah. Maybe I'm asking him to have a white collar job. Maybe he's a UPS courier. Maybe he picks up the garbage.
Exactly.
Come on, somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe mm-hmm. I want him to be tall. But maybe I want him to be tall and slim, but maybe he's short and stout. Or how about this? Maybe I want him to be black, but maybe he's white.
Exactly.
But that's your soulmate.
Yeah, Latara, you still
yes.
listening?
Well,
tell me your husband's heritage.
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
What is your husband's heritage?
Oh, he is half African-American and half Chinese.
Half African-American and half Chinese. Now, were you looking for half African-American, half Chinese?
No, man? No. To be honest with you, I wanted a man that looked like Blair Underwood.
No, have mercy.
But I was into tall, dark, muscular men, you know, and my husband, when he came, you know, he was a little taller than me. I'm 5'7" and a half. He's about 5'9". He's 5'9". He's real bright. And he was a little chunky. Like, well, okay, Lord, you know. It wasn't what I wanted on the outside, but 8 years later, it's everything I need on the inside. And that's I follow God's lead. He told me to marry a man, and I was like, you know, I'm going to do this, Lord. This is the man I want to be with, and it's been wonderful. It hasn't been an easy ride, but it's been wonderful.
My God. And it keeps coming back to God. How important is it now, and who are the single women on the line? I want you to answer this. How important is it for your husband? Because this is something else that's going on in the church. How important is it for your husband to be a man of God? Not, I mean, how important is it for the women, the single women?
Very, very important. It's most important because many a times I grew up in church, and I always even when I was in my early teens, I could not take to see the woman come to church or the husband to come to church and the pastor asking, where's your spouse? Oh, just pray for him, pastor. I loathed that. I couldn't stand it. And I said, God, if you ever called me into ministry, I want my husband right there next to me, and I want to be right next to him in ministry, because how can two walk together unless they agree? How are you agreeing if he's home or she's home and you're in the house of God? I don't see where y'all clicking at. And if you are a man or woman of God, this is my opinion. Please don't, you know, hate on what I'm saying, because this is my personal opinion. If you are a man and woman of God and you are in ministry, my opinion is that your spouse should be right there next to you. Because don't get mad when their assistant is going with them to different churches and you want to go home because your feet hurt. This is my personal opinion. I feel that they should be right there, neck and neck, hip and hip, rib to rib, all the way. A man who walks with God, a woman who walks with God, is the first and foremost thing a single person should be looking for. Not about what car he drives. Not about, he the next one that takes the pastor seat when he retire. Not about if he got a full 1K plan. Not about, you know, who's who and who know who in ministry and how big he going to get. And he's going to be the next TDJ, so she going to be the next one and either bind him. It's not about those things. Look at his spirit. His spirit will speak volumes about who he is and where God is going to lead him down the road. But if you're looking at all the materialistic things that tags onto him, you can't never see the true person. You know what I'm saying? And this is what I personally look for. If he's not walking sold out for Christ, I'm sorry. I can't be the one like, oh, where's your husband? Oh, just keep him in prayer. You know he's going through. No, you're supposed to be there ministering to him. Come on, honey, let's go to church. I know you feel a certain type of way, but when you get to the house of God, best believe before you cross the threshold of the door, whatever's bothering you, it's going to drop at the door. You understand what I'm saying? That's just me.
That's you, husband. And you. You're being a help me. Does anybody else have anything to say on that?
As a man, may I have a word about that?
Yeah.
Your husband, let's just call it like it is. It depends on you. If you're serious with God, then you won't go get some smoking, drinking cat off the road. Unless God is doing a work in him, because with my wife, I was still smoking. I was still doing a little sin, but God delivered me, and he made me the man of God. I live holy before, not only before my wife, watch this, because I tell her, when you're not around me, I'm still living holy. So then, ladies, it really depends on how much you want to get with God. If you want to stay on the outside and just on the outskirts and you want to just go to church, then go ahead, get whatever you want. Go ahead. Go get whatever you want. If he's tall, driving a Rolls, driving a Mercedes, hey, and you like him 6'5", 275 pounds, get him, because that's all you want. But if you're really trying to be serious about God, you will not even accept that which is not from God.
Exactly.
You will not. No, you ain't the one. No, okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you a few months. You get right with God. And when you get right with God, then you come back. And then if you have the Holy Ghost is going to tell you, he ain't ready yet. Put him back in the oven. Let me come to work on him. Because you want him to love you, like the Bible says, like Christ loved the church.
Exactly.
Yes, yes. Yes, and I just, as I'm sitting here and I'm listening, I'm like, I'm with you, Pastor, because I first, and also with you, my sister, because what when I got with my husband, neither one of us were where we are today. So what we want to say, I wanted to start, because we're giants. I mean, a lot of people that will listen will say, well, you guys, your ministers, your pastors, you're giants in this thing, so you should have it together. You should have it right. But Pastor, you said, and Latara said, and I have the same testimony, when we first got together, neither me and my husband were, like, living like we're living today. So so we can only talk according to what God says and what we know would be ideal. Ideally, when you meet someone, they're going to have some issues, and you're going to have some issues. We know that people put forth their best effort when they're dating, and it is not until you marry the person that you really get to see the person for who they truly are. So let's just wrap it around and just bring it on in, because the most important thing, my sisters and my brothers, for us all, as we move forward to want to be married and to the Lord bringing our husbands or our wives into our lives, is to make sure that we are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Unless we get it together, you know, unless I become holy, unless I let God work with me and my issues, listen, God is not going to send no man into my life that's gotten it all together, because he's not going to let me wreak havoc in the life of the man of God. You know, if I'm all messed up, why would God send me a man of God who got it all together? Come on.
Come on.
If I got issues that I have not resolved, if I got missing daddy drama, and I've been molested, and I haven't dealt with it, I've been raped, and I haven't dealt with it, if men have walked out on me, and I have slept with all these men, and I'm carrying all this baggage, all this spiritual debt baggage, I have low self-esteem, I'm a hypocrite, you know, perpetrator, and I've been there. I'm talking from experience. I act one way in church, and I go home and I act another way. I know how to put on the mask. If I got all this going on with me, guess what? I'm not whole, and I'm not getting ready to catch no whole man, because I got issues. Believe me, no matter how I try to cover it up, believe me, when I got ready to be married, when God sent me my husband, I had issues and he had issues, and we had to work that thing out. So what I'm saying to you, woman of God, is before you even pursue a husband, before you even begin to pray for a husband, seek the face of God. Seek God with everything in you. Let me tell you, let God heal you of your issues. When me and my father had seven years of dirty hell, I'm going to say it like that, the gates of hell was trying to prevail against our marriage, and I was helping them. Let me just say it like that, because I was acting like a fool right in my own home. And the Bible says a man would rather live on a roof than live in a house with a contentious woman. I was a hot mess. And all I want, I don't give me a husband. I fooled that man long enough to make him marry me. And that's why singleness in the church is not just I never got married, but I was married, and he found out who he was really married to, and he divorced me. That man hit the road, Jack, and he didn't want to come back no more. So we just really, really, women of God, single, married, divorced, wherever we are on this call, on listening to this archive, we got to get it together as women, because men are looking at us, and they're seeing us, and they're seeing our issues. We might not be sleeping with them, but we might just be mean. We might be nasty and rude, you know, ready to tell him off at the drop of a dime, put our hands on our hips, roll our neck, move our head from side to side, and just tell him off without cursing him out, or maybe with cursing him out. But we just need to get it together. We got to take care of our issues. Go ahead, Pastor.
If I can just say this real quickly, you can get back to speaking, woman of God. I just hope and pray that every woman who's under the sound of our voice would just be in the presence of God. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you. Just be in the presence of God. Just love on God like he's your husband. Love Jesus, you know, like he's your husband. Love yourself. Find special and wonderful things about you. Do what Esther did.
you know, before Esther became the queen, she was prepared first. There was a preparation process first before she became the queen of the kings. So before you become the queen of your king, please just get in the preparation process. Just get on your face before God. Seek God. Ask God to show you the areas of your life that need to be healed, restored, and show you in the places where you need to be delivered and set free out of bondage and captivity. Do those things and watch God send you a man of God that will bless your life. Don't look for him. Just look to God and just look to please God and just look to worship and praise and serve God and just look to be everything that God needs you to be, and then he'll send you a man that's worthy of you, not you worthy of him, him that's worthy of you.
Amen. We're in closing comments now because Pastor, stay with me because I'm going to let you speak next. Unless anybody else wants to call in, 646-652-4832, I believe there's still room for more callers. But I'm going to go ahead and go down the row and let everybody speak, starting with Pastor Amber. Go ahead, sir.
The Bible says, first, meaning the husband, the man, that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing and obtains favor from God. Second, whom God joined together, let know. And so then you have to really be honest with yourself. Well, I'm just going to take him because I need me a man. Did God join you guys together? That's it. I'm done. God bless you, woman of God.
Amen. God bless you. May God join you together. Marcus Boston, how are you? Over in the chat room, I see you. Area code 973, your comments, please.
All I have to say is there's a process in everything. If you still have things going on with you, you can't, you know, expect God to give you something and you can't even receive what he's about to give you because you all messed up. So we have to learn first patience and get ourselves right first with Christ, and then everything that is going on in our life that is not of God, God will, you know, take it, remove you from it, and then all the blessings can be able to flow to you. But first you have to be patient and go through the healing process of yourself, and then, you know, and stick to what God has you to do. And stick to everything God wants you to do and not worrying about everybody else. You are you. God made you unique, you know, and you stick with what God has for you to do and everything will work out. But if you just so in desperate need, like you can't function without a man or you can't function without a woman, you're going to look like you're desperate and you're going to church to find a mate. And that's not what the house of God is for. So just stick to what God is showing you, doing for you, transforming and manifesting things in your life, and everything else will be added.
Amen. Amen. And that sounds like the general theme here. I want to hear more. I'm still searching. And I know that there are some people who are going to get in this last 11 minutes. I believe God's getting ready to seal this thing from the people who are going to speak before we hang up. Area code 786. You're on the air. 786. Is that Matara? Okay, so she must have stepped away for a second. Okay. Area code 40. Latara?
I'm area code 405. I think someone else.
Oh, that's you, 405. 786 must have been past the barriers. Okay, Latara, right. Let me hear your comments.
You know, as I was listening to everyone just give their comments, I just heard something, you know, in my head that really just hit me, and that's if you're seeking. The first thing you have to do is be real with you, like they were saying.
Okay.
Be real with who you are. Admit your faults. Know who you are. Know that you're not perfect, and you're not going to get perfect. The other day I told someone that I look at my husband now as awesomely imperfect, and I'm the same way. And so that's what you have to seek, that awesomely imperfect individual, knowing that together you guys will grow into the perfection that God wants you to be as a husband and a wife.
My God. I just pray for the listeners who tuned in on this topic today that this somehow helping you. I know that it is, because God's word won't come back to him void. And even though we're not quoting scriptures, we are all speaking from the overflow of our hearts, which is where the word is planted. And we're living our lives. We're speaking as clearly and as genuinely as we can, because God loves the church. God loves his church. Jesus Christ is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. And we have to, as the church, get on one accord. How pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Women, we need to start getting along in the church, and men and women, the gender gap has to be broken to the point where we are not only just getting along, but we are marrying each other. Because, listen, the Bible tells us to be unequally yoked. So is there a shortage of single men in the church? Are the women in the church not good enough for the men to marry? I'm going to have to do another segment, because I'm still wow, God, where are we going wrong? Now, I don't know if this person wants to come on the air, because we got another caller, and we have 8 minutes remaining, and I just want to put this caller on the air to see if they have anything to say. Area code 862, you're on the air. Did you want to speak? Area code 862, you're on the air, and we're talking about why is so many single in the church. Did you have anything to add in this last 8 minutes?
No. I just called in to listen.
Okay, praise God. Okay, so we're closing, doing our closing remarks, and that caller, who happens to be my wonderful, wonderful, wonderful husband, did not want to add anything. He called to listen. Pastor Anthony, God bless you, honey.
God bless you.
Amen. So we were, I think everybody else, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, area code 786. Did you have any comments before we go off the air that would help? Just solutions, like for women. I know you already spoke. Are you there? Okay, she's not there. Okay, so even as we go off the air, I want to just let everybody know that there is, let's see, Gazelle is with us in the chat room, and she didn't call in today. But there is a dilemma in the church, from what I can see. There are, maybe we have to, Gazelle is 678. Let me see. I didn't see correctly. Let me see Gazelle. She says she's 678. Okay, Gazelle, you're on the air. Did you want to speak?
Oh, I was just here, just, you know, enjoying, been in the chat room, doing what I do best, typing my heart out.
Amen.
Having a good time. It was so good to hear so many good men of, and, God, and women of God come on and express themselves. And, you know, we've been having a few time on the chat room. You said you can't chat and talk, so.
Thank you.
And your voices come back, too.
Yes, praise the Lord. I lost it for 3 days, and God is good. He's healing me. I'll keep praying my strength in the Lord. But what I'm seeing is, because you and Richard started this last week, for those of you who missed it, you can go back and listen to Power in the Word, blogtalkradio.com/power. But, Gazelle, what do you have to say after hearing everything? What advice, you being a single woman? No, I want to hear what you believe the problem is and what you believe the solution is.
Well, for me, the problem was I wasn't ready. I mean, I got married the wrong person, didn't do anything right at all. I was just as much to blame as he was. And when it came time for the divorce, you know, we fought like cats and dogs and behaved badly. But when it was finally final in 2007, everyone said to me, baby, you going out there dating? I was like, no, actually, I'm going to take a rest because I need to have the places in me that have been bruised and battered during this divorce. They need to be healed first before I even start stepping out like that. And I told my daughters last year, I'm going to get married again. And
I'm
a good woman to be a good wife. And I tell everyone, I'm a Proverbs 31 woman, and there is a man who will speak well of me at the gate. Okay? I just have to be patient to find him. And I hear people say to me all the time, well, you know, if you don't get out there looking for him, my God says he is capable. That means he is capable if he don't do anything but a manage for me to be in the right place at the right time and this man at the right place at the right time. He caused the earth to be in existence. He created the sun and the moon. I don't think bringing two of his creations into the right place at the right time is too hard for my God.
Hey.
So I saw everyone there looking, okay? Remember, there's a season for everything, including
That's
marriage.
Right. That's right. That's
and if
right.
you're not in your marriage season, you keep out there looking all you want to, okay? There's a season for everything. And when God says, okay, baby, now you're ready and now you can go, then it's your season. The problem
right.
is a lot of us in the church, we are trying to rush our season.
That's
and
right.
I'm in several churches, okay, and I tell everyone, I haven't met the right person. I'll know him when I meet him. Everyone's like, how? I said, because he's going to carry Jesus like I carry Jesus.
That's
and if
right.
you don't carry Jesus in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, if I can't see him, if I can't taste him in your words and in your actions, if he's not evident in your life, then I don't want to be a part of your life.
Exactly. That's right.
Okay, and I'll be alone as long as it takes because you have to understand that God's plan is perfect. I tell everyone, my taste in men sucks. I have drugged some of the worst things home, kept them. I even married one, okay? But what I realized was I kept doing the same thing over and over again. Meet them, like them, sleep with them, start a relationship, start playing house, run around taking care of their needs, doing whatever they need. And I never stopped to ask myself, is this going to work? It didn't work the first time. It didn't work the fifth time. It didn't work the last time. So
yeah.
Now I'm going, okay, well, you know what, God? I'm going to do it your way because my way hasn't yielded me any good results. We're going to go your way, okay? Your way in your season. And as my all-powerful God, there is nothing too hard for you, including putting the person I'm supposed to spend the rest of my life with in my path.
Amen.
I don't believe that, then I have to ask myself why. Okay? I can't settle for, well, he kind of sort of got what, you know, the Bible says he is. He's either a man of God or he isn't.
Well, he
if
isn't. That's
isn't,
right.
I got to walk away.
That's right. Come
That's
on.
Good.
That's it.
Right? We want to know what's wrong in the church. We have men who are not of God who walk through the front door. We
yes.
run up to them. Ooh, it's a man. We latch on to them, do whatever it is they ask us for, and then we don't understand why it doesn't work. It didn't work
That's
because
right.
you didn't get a man of God. Every man that steps in the church is not a man
He's
of God.
Not a man of God. That's right.
Okay, if you don't have a man of God, then you have to ask yourself, okay, how did I get here? I know how I got where I was, okay? And I fully acknowledge, I tell everyone, if you see you've made a mistake and you know you've made a mistake, all right, Lord, how do I get out of this one? Are you going to sustain me in this? Are you going to bring him around? Am I supposed to be the hands and feet of you to him? Tell me what I'm supposed to do, okay? Show me where I'm supposed to go, how I'm supposed to walk this out. Okay, and right now in my singleness, I am walking out my singleness. I'm not miserable. I'm not unhappy. I'm not pining. But there is a space in my life that is supposed to be filled. God says it's not good for man to be alone, which means right now if I'm single, there's a man alone who's not walking where he's supposed to be.
Amen.
What? Amen. Alone. So when that time comes and we were both in the right place, God will end his aloneness, okay, and allow me to be a full Proverbs 31 woman to a full Proverbs 31 man.
Amen.
That's all it takes. It's called faith. That's what got us started last week. Faith. You have to have faith and believe. If you cannot have faith and you cannot believe, you've already started your problem.
Amen.
Plain and simple. Okay? There is nothing going on in the church that's not going on in the world. If you think to yourself,
right,
I go to church and I don't find a man, let me go over here, I might find a man over there. Okay, already.
Okay, already.
To take it out of God's hand, and that's not going to work.
It sure ain't.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And I want to thank everybody for listening to Women to Women. We're going to pick this up next time. We're just so happy that you joined us. And go listen to the archives at blogtalkradio.com/power. Gazelle, you just summed it up for us. Thank you so much. Faith, that's it. It comes back to believing God. Faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And God is able. God can do everything but fail. And if you desire a husband, the Bible says if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. And the thing about it, I want to say this in the archives too. The men that don't want you, you don't want them anyway.
That's right.
You know, we get so caught up with nobody, you know, they don't want me. They're not looking at me. They're looking at her. But we don't want the ones that are not looking at us. We don't want
that's
the ones
right.
that are looking at her. You know, that's somebody else's lane. And God, what God has for you is for you. And you just have to receive that. If you are faithful, Gazelle, the women of God who are with me, God is just so good because he brought this thing full circle. If you are faithful to God, God is faithful to do the things that he has said that he was going to do. If you give God your everything, if you give God you, all of you, then there is no good thing that God will withhold from you. And it's just so true. God's word works. If we work the word, word will work for us, and we don't work the word like it's a lamp, a genie lamp, or a magic solution. But I'm just saying is apply God's word like God told Joshua. Apply his word to your life, and God is not a man that he should lie. Guaranteed, God will give you those things that he told you that he would give you.
Yes.
No good thing, no good thing, no good thing, no good thing will God withhold from you if you diligently, earnestly seek after him, if you love him with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your spirit. It's not even about a man. It's not even about a man. I'm telling you, we get so caught up in it. I got to have a husband. I got to have a man.
Mm-hmm.
Delight yourself in the Lord. When we delight ourselves in God, God delights in us. I mean, my God. And let me tell you, God, oh, my God. But it's not a bad thing either to want a husband. You know, I mean, I want a husband. I'm glad I have a husband because I want a husband, you know. And God gave me my desires. And I don't believe, and I know that God is no respecter of persons. And what God has done for me, why I do this broadcast, why I do Christian Women of Power, why I write books and why I preach is because I believe that God will do for others, the people that I preach to, those people that read my books and listen to this broadcast. I believe that whatever God done for me, he can do it for somebody else. He can do it for my sister. He can do it for my brother because he's just an awesome God like that. I just believe it. I believe it, and that's why I'm here. And I'm just so happy that I have other people who believe like I do because we just have to be like-minded, and iron really does sharpen iron, So the women of God, I just applaud you. I just applaud you all for being here and for just being on the battlefield. For being women of God and for holding down, you know, holding it down. Just hold it down. You know, continue to hold it down. Hold it down. Keep it locked down. You know, people be like, well, you got it locked down. Yeah, certain things we just got to keep it locked down, you know.
That's right.
You know, certain things are precious. You know, our bodies are the temple of God. And it's not just for anybody to be sampling. And I just thank God for the women of God, Gazelle and Latara, and, you know, my Minister LaWanda, for just being honest, and Pastor Darian and Pastor Amaker, the man of God, for being honest and say, no, we haven't always had it right, but you know what? We're no longer part of this problem. We're part of the solution. So I just take my hat off to all of you women of God. I love the women of God. I love the women of God. You know, I just pray that you hear my heart. And, you know, and I applaud you all. You know, I know your struggles. You know, I know what you're walking through. You know, I know that night sometimes it's lonely, sometimes it's hard. But guess what? You know, weeping may endure for a night, but joy really does come in the morning. And
Amen.
So if you could just not grow weary in well-doing, if you persevere, if you keep pressing, keep praising, keep praying, keep believing, you shall inherit the promises. Every single one of them, what God has for you is for you. I believe that. And I believe that by faith we shall possess all that God has for us. So I'm still waiting for some things from God, too. Believe me, we're talking about a husband today, but I'm still believing God for some stuff, too. So, you know, we're going to stand in faith together, amen, believing that all things are possible. All things are possible with God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm going to rest my voice because guess who has to preach tomorrow? And we're taking the kids out. Women of God, I just. You know, thank God for you. And let me tell you something.
God bless you as well.
My God, you guys are doing it. You guys are doing it. You know, just keep doing what you're doing. You know, Gazelle, you know, keep doing it, woman of God. Keep doing what you're doing. Minister LaWanda, keep doing what you're doing. All of you women of God, Latara, oh, my God, I'm watching you. You guys are doing it. Just keep doing it. And don't be sidetracked. Just keep moving forward in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So that's it. We're off the air. Join me next week. I won't be here next week. I actually will be preaching here in Orange, New Jersey. Next week I'll be in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. And so if you're in that area, come on over to Tri-Faith Ministries over on Glendale Avenue and be a part of what's going on there with the Apostle Matt Tilley. And then the following week I'll be preaching in Orange. Go over to my website at nccmonline.org and check out what God is doing. I'll be back at the end of the month. In the meantime, go in peace and serve the Lord. Know that God loves you, and so do we, right here at Woman to Woman. God bless you.